This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Back here at WEEI Afternoons, live at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series, America's best-selling truck for 48 years and the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. It's 3 o'clock, so Ted Johnson's in the house.
Hey, boys, hey. How we doing? Good to see you guys.
Is that mic not right? You just had to do like a, you were like getting down in your stance almost.
Yeah,
like you're
going
to hit
yeah.
somebody.
You got to get in an athletic pose.
Jerome Bettis on the other side, coming, ready to come right at you?
I'm ready to go, man. Let's do this.
All right, that means he's here. It's time for the three-point stance.
319!
319!
319!
319's
a hot!
Yeah,
there you
go!
What's that?
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pastrnak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three. And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it is time for the three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons. Today's three-point stance is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman, Andy. You can call all sevens to do that. 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we have three hosts, each of which will present their take, their opinion on some of the biggest stories floating around the world of sports and sometimes beyond. Each host will get roughly 60 seconds to present their opening take on whatever they are hottest on today. And then following each opening take, we will open up the floor for discussion. Our order will change today because we have a special entrant. I know I am in for Nick Fitzy Stevens. He is always here in spirit. And now he is here on the phone lines here on WEEI. Mr. Stevens, good afternoon. How are you?
Guys, even on an off day, all I'm thinking is EEI Afternoons and the chance to talk some sports with the boys.
Obviously. Goodness gracious. I love it.
Well,
all right.
If I know Fitzy, I know that's true. Well, Nick, you have something special that you're bringing to today's three-point stance. We had to boot Stiz's entry about cooking tacos from last night in order to make room for this at the top. We'll get to that later.
This better be good.
Nick, I ask you the question I ask you always. Are you ready, my friend?
Oh, man, you know, Dan, I hate bumping a good taco take as much as the next guy, but when I get a call like I got a couple hours ago and I get a chance to share this information and be first to market with it, I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
All right. Well, then your 60 seconds or thereabouts to get the information out begins right now.
Guys, as you full well know, Andy, Ted, Dan, Stiz, audience at large, it has been my honor and pleasure the last several weeks in the 2025 NFL draft run-up to do everything I can to get you as hyped for the 10,000 different players I have mocked to the Patriots at pick number 4. Well, earlier today, a little birdie with some really good intelligence, a well-sourced phone call, came to me to offer this possible scenario. If somebody that we wanted the Patriots to select very badly, Abdul Carter, were to fall to fourth, and I know this scenario is slightly unlikely, if he were to fall at fourth overall, how would you feel about a certain team that recently won the Super Bowl calling up your New England Patriots in desperation and want of Abdul Carter and offering a certain wide receiver who has admitted that he loves New England and would love to play for the Patriots and possibly more selections in a blockbuster draft day trade? That's right. I got a call earlier today saying that the Philadelphia Eagles really, really, really want Abdul Carter and that they would consider, or rather are planning, to call your New England Patriots on draft day if Carter falls to four to see if Mike Vrabel would like a reunion with A.J. Brown and possibly more draft selections and compensation to come. So there you go, folks. There is your latest pick number four rumor. It is a good one, and I thought that I would chum the waters today for the pick number four dialogue. A.J. Brown and more compensation possibly to the Patriots if Abdul Carter falls to four. I thought I would do
all
that.
All right, Fitzy.
Good stuff, brother.
I like it. Back to your day off, and we will discuss that momentarily.
Good info. Thank you for that, my man.
Okay. Ow. Well, that is that's a first, a trade rumor and some source information.
And yeah, it doesn't. We can get into it.
It doesn't sound too crazy either.
Doesn't? And there's even more layers of circumstance, but we'll get into that in a minute.
Got it.
Yes, we will, because Andy, you normally lead us off, but you will take us second here.
And second, I got dropped in the order like Casas.
Absolutely.
Sorry, brother.
Not necessarily for poor play, although other listeners and co-hosts may disagree. But
you like my power, you want me to drive Fitzy in. Okay, I see what you do.
100%. So he was the table setter, and are you ready?
Yep. I am damn ready.
All right, well, your 60 seconds damn well begin right now.
So, the Bruins have an interesting offseason. We all agree to that. We thought there might be changes in the front office. Now we kind of think there will not be because, well, Charlie Jacobs said there won't be. I love Cam Neely and Don Sweeney. Okay, so now you say they're going to change their head coach. Oh, they're going to have a top five pick in the draft. They got $29 million in cap space. They're going to sign people. They're talking about trading picks and prospects to get veteran talent. There is a lot that's going to go on in the Bruins offseason. Those all seem important. They all pale in comparison to the most important thing that will happen in the Bruins offseason this year and the most important man in the Bruins offseason. And do you know his name?
Pasta.
No. Jeremy Swayman.
Ah.
Your goalie, who had a career high in games played and a career high in bad play, 42nd ranked goalie in hockey despite having the fifth biggest paycheck in hockey, you need to get him right. He's going into year two of an eight-year deal that pays him more than $8 million a year. All that other stuff is great. You need a coach. You need more talent around him. But if you're $8 million goalie, the guy fifth in the league at goalie, if he stinks, you got a massive problem for the better part of a decade. You need to get that guy's mind right and his body right and back to playing high-level hockey between the pipes at the Garden.
According to him, he's right, Brad, in his body and his mind.
He's full of crap.
Oh, okay.
Well, wasn't this year awesome, according to him?
Are we going to get some of that audio?
Oh, we're going to get to the awesome year that wasn't so awesome if you were a Bruins fan watching those not-so-awesome games.
I mean, if you haven't heard some of this, some of his comments from yesterday, you'd stick around because it is very, very interesting.
Especially you, Christian Arcan, in case you haven't heard some of it, when you argued and argued and argued how great Swayman was and how he was worth all the money, and you swore at me and told me to shut up on the air.
I thought you were an idiot and a moron.
He called me that, too.
And a child?
No, you know what I was?
What?
Keep going.
Right.
Okay. Well, you might be. You might end up being right.
Yeah, some of those other ones may still apply, but that's
it could all be true.
That's for different reasons. Okay, so we'll get into that. There's great audio that came from Swayman, who seems to have a bit of a different feel on this year from most of the other people
everybody
who watched him. But before any of that, Ted Johnson, are you ready,
my friend?
I'm
ready, brother.
All right, well, your 60 seconds for your opening take starts right now.
All right, so I'm thinking today's steak day. Steaks, what are the stakes? Stakes for the Celtics, what are the stakes for the Patriots in the draft? And the stakes are high when it comes to the Patriots in the draft. And particularly for Mike Vrabel for setting a tone for this franchise, guys. I was looking back at the past drafts when Patriots have hired coaches for the first time. And I went back to the 1997 draft when I had a new coach, Pete Carroll. All right. And in this draft class, I would say, wouldn't you nod your head, Andy, you agree that this kind of set the tone for his tenure, that being Pete Carroll? And in the first round, he selected Chris Canty, a cornerback out of Kansas State. Not too good. Brandon Mitchell in the second round. Brandon was okay, but maybe in the first second rounder. Cedric Shaw in the third. Chris Carter in the third. Damian Denson in the fourth. Ed Ellis in the fourth. Vernon Crawford in the fifth. What's up, Vernon? Tony Gator in the sixth, and then Scott Rayburg in the seventh. Guys,
yuck.
Not good, right? And that's kind of set the tone for Pete's tenure, would you say?
Yeah.
And then you go to Bill Belichick's first year as the coach for the Patriots. In his first draft, in the second round, Adrian Klim, J.R. Redmond, I love you, J.R., in the third round, Greg Robinson Randall in the fourth, Dave Shostashelsky in the fifth, but in the sixth round, with the 199th pick, Tom Brady, quarterback out of Michigan, Bill Belichick selected, set the tone for the next 25 years. My point is, you can look at these drafts in their first years of these tenure of these coaches here with the Patriots, and you can see right away those draft classes setting the tone and the foundation for their tenure here. So that this is a very and very important draft for as far as setting the tone, building a foundation, and helping establish a culture for Mike Vrabel and the Patriots.
Okay, so we have the stakes for the draft, the first of which that Mike Vrabel will oversee for the Patriots. We have Andy's thoughts on Jeremy Swayman with audio that we will get to likely later in the show, but we'd be remiss if we don't go back to the trade rumor that was floated by our guy Fitzy just a few moments ago. It's the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, the Super Bowl champion.
Eagles, yeah, guys, fly, Eagles, fly.
32 overall. And a potential trade up to the number four spot in the draft if Abdul Carter is still available in exchange for A.J. Brown plus. So, Andy, your initial thoughts after hearing this floated?
So, I think it makes some sense. You know, the Patriots still need a number one receiver. Stephon Diggs is not a true number one receiver. A.J. Brown is. A.J. Brown loves the Patriots. We know the whole story. He was actually on social media today because he was excited because Edelman sent him an autographed jersey. Did you see that?
I did see that.
He was like holding up and giddy that he had a Patriots jersey, number 11, autographed.
That's interesting.
It's very interesting. And also,
are we laying groundwork?
I'm just saying, also, Josh Sweat left in free agency. Milton Williams left in free agency. Their defensive front took a little bit of a hit. Their edge rusher took a little bit of a hit. There were rumors and even borderline reports out of Philly that they wanted to make a run for Myles Garrett when he was supposedly available, that they were putting together the possibility of making some cap moves to go get Myles Garrett. That didn't happen. Obviously, he re-signed with Cleveland. So they're lusting after a premier edge rusher, not hard to fathom. A guy that's at Penn State, right? So he's in state. They might have a really good rapport, look at him, knowledge of him, whatever it may be. But my question would be, would they not be interested in trading with the Browns? Would they not be interested? Like, if he falls to the Patriots, this might make some sense. But if they were this aggressive, if they were willing to trade with four, why wouldn't they be willing to go to three or two to try to get it?
Well, because those teams aren't as interested in what you have to offer. The Patriots are interested in A.J. Brown. Maybe the Cleveland isn't. Maybe the Giants are not. And you look at some of the, you look at the contract for A.J. Brown. It looks pretty good. I mean, they got basically two more years on the deal. He's got a potential out after the 2026 season. But if you're going to do that, if you were going to trade for A.J. Brown and give up your fourth overall pick, I would want something else in return.
And
not just a player. I would want.
Agreed.
You know, third rounder, I would start doing some pick swaps.
Just to share that with you, too. So they have their own first, second, third, fourth, and they have four fifth-round picks, one of which is theirs. They also have Houston's, Detroit's, and Washington.
So how about – so they're picking 32nd, correct?
They are picking 32nd, yeah.
So I'll take A.J. Brown in 32
'kay.
For number four. So I still technically have a first-round pick.
Yep.
So I'm pick 32.
I would do that all day.
And I'm pick 38, I believe they're picking.
Yeah.
You could then package those if you want to move up.
I think that's outstanding.
I would do the 32nd pick and A.J. Brown for Abdul Carter at number four. And Fitzy, if you heard his language.
No tackle, though. Still no tackle.
But that's where I'm trading up with 32 and 38 to get
it to
Josh Simmons.
Okay.
Or
in the mid-teens?
Yeah, there's been a lot of those. Like 24 has been a popular speculative one where the Patriots could trade back into.
Okay.
Any one of those. But did you notice that Nick Fitzy Stevens did say he did one of those fix his own words where he said they would be with, and then he goes, no, they are planning to. He said this with intimate knowledge that the Eagles are planning to do this if Abdul Carter falls to four. That this is not like pie in the sky. Oh, could we do that? Would we? No. They're planning on doing something like that. So now, would you be happy? Do you prefer A.J. Brown and a package to Abdul Carter? Because Abdul Carter was considered at one point the best player in this draft.
It's tough. I mean, it's tantalizing. It's hard. I look at what the profile of this team is. It's a It's not a young team. There's a lot of old guys, but they want to build through their youth, and you got to get a foundation. And your first pick in this coach's tenure has to be a blockbuster deal.
That's how I kind of feel.
But it lays a foundation. A.J. Brown, I mean, I don't know how much football he has left in him, right? You need someone that in this pick needs to be a guy that's here for the next 10 years, theoretically, is what you want. And so it makes me a little bit nervous, although I would be hard. I would want to listen. Do you know what I'm saying? You have a cost-controlled guy at that pick, a foundational piece, something to build off of. He kind of sets the tone for what you're trying to accomplish, where A.J. Brown is, you know, kind of already an established veteran. Yep. And how many more years does he have left? And, you know, he's going to be matched with a young quarterback who still needs to prove himself. It's just – it's not the perfect fit, if you know what I mean.
I absolutely agree, because I always say this, to what end? Like, if you envision it, you do this, like, what's your end game? Because you're right. You might get two great years out of A.J. Brown. Are you in the AFC Championship game? Are you in the Super Bowl? Is it that quick a turnaround? Is that what you're trying to do? Because I'll tell you one person that I think would love this. So we've talked all offseason that Drake May is probably sitting there watching Milton Williams, Harold Landry, guys, I'm over here. Are you ever going to get me? I got to think if he saw this come across his little ESPN scroll, Patriots acquire A.J. Brown, he'd be doing cartwheels in whatever living room he is in.
Yeah.
Because that's a beast to throw to.
And that's the question you also have to weigh. What does Abdul Carter in his first year, just take this for 2025, does Abdul Carter in his first year on a defense that's already added on every level make you X amount better versus what is an offense that's led by Drake May with A.J. Brown and Stephon Diggs, plus whatever you add back into the first round or on,
right?
What makes you better quicker? What adds more imaginary wins?
A.J. Brown.
And so to your point, Ted, and I'm genuinely curious, what is the tone that's set by Mike Vrabel if you stick and draft Abdul Carter versus what is the tone that's set if you make that trade for A.J. Brown? Does it change the way in a high-stakes draft that you just broke down? Does it change the way Patriots fans
You know what? The Patriots fans are going to look at as a, they think they're going to win right now. It'll heighten the stakes for right now.
Right.
And that's, you know, and these coaches think about that. Do they want all of a sudden, you know, everybody having, this team, A.J. Brown, all of a sudden they went from the worst wide receiver group to all of a sudden they're probably maybe, you know, ranked in the, you know, between 18 and 14 now with A.J. Brown and Steph Diggs, and you go, okay, now maybe they get 10 wins out of this team, and so expectations get higher.
Yeah.
You know, my guess is Vrabel wants to kind of, you know, slow the expectations down.
Sure.
Build for the future and slowly, steadily kind of build towards something. And if you bring in A.J. Brown, I think that is the opposite of just draft sticking and picking, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and given how low the bar was set by Mayo and company last year, it's going to take very little for it to be considered a successful first year for Mike Vrabel.
Well, depends who you are, because I want to throw another log on the fire. Robert Kraft has talked about playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Kraft has talked about...
That's his expectation for this year.
Correct.
If this is a Kraft decision, you're making that trade.
Well, no, that's my point. Yeah. If he legitimately expects playoffs and Mike Vrabel cares what he thinks, then you lean towards trading for A.J. Brown because it makes you better faster.
Hold on. Okay. But what does he say at every NFL owners meeting? What is he always harping on? This is most important thing for this franchise is to do what?
Draft.
Yeah. Draft. And you're giving your fourth overall pick. I mean, you haven't, to a team that just won the Super Bowl. For a player that is kind of past his maybe prime or just right at his prime. I don't know. I just think the value. He's all about value. He's all about building through the draft. I think he wants to. The drafts have been terrible. I'm not so sure he would look at it that way. That's my point.
So we have a immediate reaction from the phone line. If you want to react to this, our 3-point stance from Nick Fitzy Stevens that the Eagles are prepared to trade with the Patriots for Abdul Carter at 4 if he falls to that spot.
That's a trade scenario that I think you would want to talk to the Patriots about way before the draft.
Oh, sure. So probably next week when Vrabel said all the talks will start to happen.
Right.
But let's go to Rick and Natick and get his reaction to this would-be A.J. Brown trade with the Patriots. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I don't know, Teddy, man. You've been in some locker rooms with some serious players. Do you really think that Stephon Diggs and A.J. Brown would be a good combination to put around Drake May with those personalities and, you know, to give me the ball, man? If they don't win right away, that's going to be pretty tough.
It's a great
point. Thanks for the call, Rick.
Rick, that's a great point. I mean, I'm sorry, guys. You got to look at dynamics. The dynamics, okay, and I've been talking, saying how important it is in the quarterback room. It's just as important in that wide receiver room. The wide receiver room dynamic is important. And if one guy's pulling one way and other guys are pulling the other way, it can really mess up. And then you got a young quarterback who's trying to decipher who do I make happy. I mean, that's such a great point by Rick. I mean, those two big alphas, those are alphas.
Yeah.
And who's going to out alpha the other guy? I don't know. Without them ever working together, you don't know what that combination can do. It can be magical or it could be another disaster.
I'm encouraged by the fact that with a developing alpha and Devonta Smith, there hasn't been any whisper of any issue in Philadelphia when you have two guys that are fighting for targets. But I fully acknowledge Devonta Smith and Stephon Diggs are two very different mindsets going.
And what do these guys want more? These guys, they want the ball, but they also want to win. They've been on winning programs. I mean, A.J. Brown just won the Super Bowl. Steph Diggs has been on, you know, good teams with Buffalo and Minnesota and the Texans. So, you know, these guys, they come here and all of a sudden, you're 1-4 and then you got a lot of games left, yet they're sucking their thumbs in the corner because they're not happy because the team sucks and it's not going good. So Rick brings up an excellent point about just the dynamic of two, you know, alphas in the same room working with an unproven quarterback.
And a quarterback who we had we're not going back there, but the whole Joe Milton discussion, why he was traded and it makes life easier to develop for Drake May. Well, if you bring in A.J. Brown, who is a Vrabel guy, like they have a connection, but you bring in A.J. Brown and he looks, A.J. Brown said, give me the ball. And he looks the other way and Diggs is like, no, I'm open on this play. And that's a headache for Drake May.
I think what we're overlooking is the Josh McDaniel factor. See, I just think Josh has more pull and sway as far as who they bring in as wide receivers than we realize. We just think, oh, they just want to bring in great, you know, it's like, well, what does Josh McDaniels think of A.J. Brown and Steph Diggs playing together? What is his opinion? You know, does he have a brother that's coached A.J. Brown? Because he did for Stephon Diggs. And so that's partly why Stephon Diggs is here is because he talked to his brother who coached him down in Houston and got, okay, I can deal with this guy. It's part of it to me with Josh McDaniels, he's got a big ego. Can he handle coaching A.J. Brown and Steph Diggs?
Or they just fail Stephon Diggs' physical and – based on that report we read on Pro Football Talk, they send him packing with no guaranteed money and say, thanks for being a Patriot for a month, and we have A.J. Brown now. We don't need you. I know that's crazy, but this trade feels a little crazy.
I watched Steph Diggs fit into an offense where he was the third option in terms of big plays in Houston last year and be top 10 in receptions before he tore his ACL. And if there's one guy who's going to be able to point to and say, A.J. can handle this or Arthur can handle this versus not, it's Vrabel. I know it's crazy, but I think you add A.J. Brown opposite Stephon Diggs and trade for a left tackle, you should be a playoff team.
All right, that's going to put the wraps on 3-point stance for now. We're going to revisit some of this as the show goes on. I do want to get to the Swayman comments and the juxtaposition of where he's at mentally, physically, and all that. But up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we will ask our buddy Mike Giardi about this possibility of an A.J. Brown trade if Abdul Carter were to fall. Mike Giardi, joins us next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball does it again.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What's trending? Back here at WEEI Afternoons, live from Fenway Park on a beautiful day in Boston. And it just got a little brighter because our buddy Mike Giardi from Boston Sports Journal. Sorry, you've had a few jobs. And before you're done laughing, we got to play your fancy intro. So, Stiz, roll it.
It's time for Mike Giardi.
Stink, stank, and stunk.
The bulging in his disc in his back. The bulging disc in his back.
What do you gain by keeping Bill Belichick around?
I want to see as much Drake May as possible.
Angry Giardi is here.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
I don't know if you want to take the cheese again.
Mike Giardi, folks, is an angry man.
I'm not pissed today.
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
On Boston Sports Original. WEEI.
Mike Giardi, I know you always listen to our program, so I'm guessing you've already heard that noted NFL source of news information man Nick Fitzy-Stevens is reporting that the Philadelphia Eagles could be prepared to trade with the Patriots for the number 4 pick and the right to draft Abdul Carter if he fell to that spot. Included in that trade would be A.J. Brown. Your reaction?
My reaction would be, I'm still not totally sure why Philadelphia would do that, considering the plethora of bodies they have coming off the edge to begin with. But look, there's definitely been some smoke around AJ, and we know he wasn't particularly enthralled over the course of last season because of his usage and because of the quarterback play. So, I mean, you can never rule any of that stuff out. And, you know, we get closer and closer to the draft. I think you're going to hear more and more stuff come out, you know, whether it's strictly rumors or leaks or whatever. But, like, you know, usually as we get closer and closer to the draft, it starts to pick up for sure.
Mike, in reading your work this morning on, say it with me, Andy, the Boston Sports Journal.
Nailed it.
One of the points that you brought up was that Mike Vrabel needs to apply some of the lessons that he's learned in past drafts and past spots during his coaching and executive career. So what are some of the lessons that jumped out to you in looking at his draft record from the past?
They definitely took some risks on character guys. They took some risk on injury guys in particular. You know, Caleb Farley, who was by all accounts a top 10 player in that draft, but he had back surgery right before pro day and they still picked him. You know, and he fell. It was picked 22 overall, but like he did nothing for them. He could barely get on the field and got hurt multiple times, including another back surgery. Isaiah Wilson was a pick they made at the end of the first round. A lot of questions about him leading up to that. Like, what, this kid, does he really like football? You know, there's some off-field stuff. They took him. He played 4 snaps for them as a first-round pick and was traded 11 months later and never appeared in the league ever again. So it's like, yeah, and it goes beyond that. Like, I just listed the first-round stuff. If you go and look at their draft history, like I was trying to say when I was initially writing the piece, it's a mixed bag. And I was like, that's not honest. It wasn't a mixed bag. It was mostly poor. Not a lot of keepers in there. Their 2019 draft was awesome. Harold Landry in 2018 in the second round turned out to be a hell of a pick. You know, gets a second contract from them and then gets a contract from the Patriots. And look, Mike wasn't in charge entirely, right? Like John Robinson was the GM and Mike, you know, over the years got more power when it came to the draft, and then, you know, John Robinson got fired. But, like, there's a lot of misses there. So the hope is that they have modified their system in some way, shape, or form that allows them to find more success in the draft, because I think we all know they're going to build this thing the right way. And Mike said it himself, like, you keep missing in the draft, then you have to start chasing in free agency, and usually that's not a good recipe.
Okay, Mike, I'm not sure if we're going to get a chance to talk to you before next Thursday night, so I'm going to ask you now, rubber band gun to your head. Who do the Patriots end up taking there with the fourth overall pick?
It's Will Campbell, you know, and I mean,
yes!
I've made my case against why I wouldn't do it, but he checks a lot of needs for them, and then the hope is that he'll start him in left tackle and that he proves he belongs there. There's a lot of people who say, well, if he doesn't end up there, you just kick him inside. Well, he has never played guard before. It's just automatically assume he's going to slide in there and be awesome. Look, he's got the temperament. He's got the nasty. He's strong. He's a good athlete. Like, he should be able to do it, but he's never done it before. So the hope here is that you hit him on left tackle. He ends up being a really good player for you there, and you don't have to worry about that position for 8 to 10 years. But, like I said, I have my doubts because you're going against history with this pick. Like, nobody has been an all-pro Pro Bowler with the combined arm length wingspan that he brings to the table. And if you talk to people who are being realistic, and I don't think people want to spin this, or spin's the wrong word, I don't think people really want to tell you, his tape last year wasn't that great. Like, I'm not talking bad, but I'm not talking top four pick in the draft good. So, it's just something that people have kind of glossed over because they like the player and they like, obviously there's a need here. So pump them up as much as you can.
You know what, but just real quick, I want to follow up. Have you ever heard of a prospect kind of being so, he's kind of comes at people. Like, if he heard you say that right now, Michael, he would come at you. I mean, he's got things to say for people. The question is, I mean, have you seen kind of a prospect, I don't know, clap back, chirp back at, people, kind of doubting the measurables like Will Campbell has?
Ted, it feels like it's become more of a thing. I'm going to sound really old here. This generation, but it's the social media generation. I think there's a lot more of that than there used to be, where guys have the outlet. But you're right. He went out there in front of the cameras and I think it's BS. And I was doing an event last night as we were raising money for Doug Kide and charity for cancer, and his young daughter passed away, and really great event. Fitzy was the host. It was an awesome event. A lot of people turned out, so I thank them for that. But I did say at one point, because we were talking about picks, and I'm like, I wouldn't do it. And I said, this is going to be really awkward when they draft Will Campbell and I have to stand in front of him and be like, well, I wouldn't have done it, but okay, let's go.
You're the sting, stank, stunk guy.
Consistency there. Mike Giardi, everybody hate me. It's great.
Boston Sports Journal. Yesterday, we kind of had this little bombshell or whatever it is. All of a sudden, people realize, wait, Colton Miller's not taking part in offseason workouts and he wants a new contract. Hey, he plays left tackle and the Patriots need a left tackle. Is there any dots to be connected there potentially in the next, 6 days? Because I would think you'd want to get it done before the draft arrives.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard anything specific to it, but it certainly would make a lot of sense. And then if you did it, it either frees you to do whatever you want it for, maybe even take less value to move back if you wanted to accumulate more assets, or just take Will Campbell and say, Colt Miller's our left tackle and you're going to be the guard, and you're going to be the guard from day one. And now all of a sudden you look across the line and you say, oh, we've got four of the five spots taken care of. And the only one that I would sort of semi leave out of that is I'm not totally in love with the idea of the center here in Garrett Bradbury, but they did what they did. So that's a possibility. I certainly would make the call. I think it'd be foolish not to. I mean, this is clearly a money thing. And if you can somehow, whatever, it's the third round pick, the extra third round pick you have, and then give him a contract for a couple of years, that'd be a nice way to sort of bridge the gap and create a little bit more time and space to find the left tackle of the future.
Speaking of making calls, I've seen on social media that your boss, Greg Bedard, has been sort of alluding to the Patriots being big game hunting, and he knows that they're looking for a big fish. I'm sure you guys chat, hang out, share. Should we be intrigued by those comments from him?
So I haven't talked to him specifically about it. I would say that I think this sort of just a continuation of the aggressiveness with which they've tried to operate in the year since Bill's been gone. It's whether it be calling about Brandon Ayuk or DK Metcalf or whomever, they have tried to make that big trade. They have tried to swing that. So I don't rule out the possibility that they're still looking for an established veteran guy that there's a track record of, hey, we know what we're going to get for this guy. The question is, what are you willing to give up? Because I think one of the themes that sort of I gained from talking to people around the team during free agency was like, well, our roster's not good enough to give up high draft picks. Now that they feel like what they've done in free agency give them a little bit more leeway to say, hey, you know what? If we get this guy and Drake gets better and, you know, now we feel like it's a better offensive coordinator and we're going to be more aggressive on defense, like now all of a sudden is that one player maybe kick us, I don't want to say over the top, but kick us from a you know, 7-win team to maybe a 9-win team and maybe we're sniffing the playoffs? Like, I don't know. That's a question that I have to answer inside. I would still try to continue to keep my picks and build that way, but it's clear that they have explored trying to find those guys.
Okay, Mike, since you got the Patriots taking Will Campbell, I'm guessing you are going to say it's chalk for the first three. You assume Cam Ward's going to Tennessee, Travis Hunter to Cleveland, Abdul Carter to the Giants. You see that kind of – that's how it's playing out in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I could see a trade there, Ted, at three. I could see the Giants not totally – so Art Stapleton, who's covered the Giants for a million years, had a tweet maybe a week and a half ago, and I kind of looked into it, and it's spot on. They don't technically or generally when it comes to medical red flags, the Giants don't do it in the first round. Like they want a healthy, clean prospect in round one. And so if they have questions about the foot, and some teams do have questions about the foot, including New England, then maybe that slides them off the board. I still find it hard to believe just because I think from a talent perspective, it was really hard to pass that up, what he's capable of doing off the edge. You know, you're talking about probably someone who could come in the league and be a double-digit sack guy, if not in year one, certainly from year two and on, if he becomes the player we all think he's going to be. So, but that could be a spot, right? Because I think they still have holes to fill, and there's two people desperately trying to save their job there, and the general manager and head coach Brian Daboll. So I don't know. I don't know how they view that, but like that would be an interesting one to me if they have medical concerns and don't want to make that pick.
All right, Mike, appreciate you joining us. We will be staying tuned to your Twitter, your social media, the Boston Sports Journal for your buildup. But Will Campbell, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I'm okay
with
that.
That's your guy. No, of course.
You've totally talked yourself into it, Andy.
That's right. Where there's a will, there's a way. Goodbye, Michael.
Thanks,
see ya. Thank you. That's Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. And we're going to revisit his Will Campbell answer because I got mixed messages from him, and I'm not sure whether I liked it or not. That's up next here on WEEI.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Afternoons.
Who do the Patriots end up taking there with the fourth overall pick?
It's Will Campbell.
Yes!
I've made my case against why I wouldn't do it, but he checks a lot of needs for them. And then the hope is that you'll start him in left tackle and that he proves he belongs there. And if you talk to people who are being realistic, I don't think people really want to tell you. His tape last year wasn't that great. Like, I'm not talking bad, but I'm not talking top four pick in the draft good. It's just something that people have kind of glossed over because they like the player and they like, obviously, there's a need here. So pump them up as much as you can.
That is now noted Will Campbell hater Mike Giardi here on WEEI Afternoons just moments ago.
Hater? He just said he was picking him.
Except he just said he didn't have a good year and he's not worth the pick. And I have not heard anyone tell me if you watched. All I've heard is the criticism you've had. Arm length and hands.
And then he's not really worth a fourth overall pick.
But no one told me he didn't play well last year. He just said if you watch the tape, he didn't play well last year. People don't want to say it. Why do they not want to say it? What, are we being nice to Will Campbell? Do we have to protect Will Campbell? Like, what are we doing here?
Maybe just at this point, it sounds weird to say. Wait, no one's been talking negative about this guy, and then all of a sudden, something's. What's your angle? What are you trying to do? You're trying to, impact the draft?
Yeah, but I do feel like there's so many experts out there, quote unquote. I don't know how many are actual experts that want to get attention. One of them would say, I watch Will Campbell's tape. Forget about his short arms. He's not that good.
But if you're the only one doing it and you're pounding the table and all these voices are saying the opposite of what you're saying and you're really...
You better be right.
You know, like in the past, I think guys have gotten in trouble with agents.
Yeah.
It's been a bad look for people that have put information out there that has hurt the credibility of these potential players and impacted their draft order. So you got to be careful. If you're going to go... I don't think saying a guy isn't as good as people think is all that damning, but you get my point, right?
And they don't coach for a reason.
That's Will Campbell pushing back against some of the criticisms against him, including yours. But no, I just, like, people I trust, Dane Brugler with The Beast on The Athletic, I think he's been doing it long enough. He's got a pretty good track record. And I don't think he's a hot take artist where he's looking to, he puts together, he tells you what he thinks he sees or hears and whatever.
He watches that tape that apparently wasn't very good.
Absolutely. And he's got him as number 6 overall on his top 100 big board. Sixth best player in the draft, not tackle, not, mock draft, sixth best player. Field Yates has Will Campbell as fifth best player in the draft. So that's a pretty good prospect.
It is, but he evaluates off the charts on all the athletics. Like, so his high jump, his broad jump, his bench, his 40 is top 1%.
Right.
But then he gets pushed back. He has short arms. He doesn't have the length. He doesn't have the size. I'm gonna tell you this when I've watched his film, I go, he just looks undersized to me. He just does. He looks
like a guy that'll be bullied at the next level.
Yes, it looks like a guy that is just gonna get pushed back into the quarterback. Right. That's what he looks like to me right now. He looks light down below. He doesn't have a big base. Membu, the kid from Missouri, he looks the part.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
Will Campbell looks like... he's got grit. He's tough. He's farm boy strong, I'm sure. But when I put on the tape, I don't go, oh, that's Jonathan Ogden over there. That those are your Lane Johnsons. Trent Williams type of bodies. He's not even close to those guys.
So the you noting that you think he kind of lacks sand in his pants, wouldn't that also be an issue if he did have to bump into guard? I mean, we've been talking about Cole Strange being an undersized, lacking sand in his pants kind of guard.
And I almost compare his body type to a Cole Strange.
I don't think I like that.
This is
getting worse by
the
sentence.
That is the perfect... I look at him and I go, that's what I thought. I thought of Cole Strange because Cole Strange is light in the pants too. And I just thought, okay, man. The bull rush is going to be an issue for this team if Will Campbell's our left tackle.
So we've settled in because the way Giardi said it was like, it's going to be Will Campbell. Kind of like throw your hands in the air.
It seems like everybody is settled on he's the lesser of the evils at this point.
Yeah.
Not necessarily I'm excited to draft him. It's, well, how much is he going to hurt? How much is my own personal PR as the person making the decision going to be hurt by taking him?
But if he's not a tackle,
it seems like we are.
And the other problem here is there's been a lot of, worst case scenario, he's a Pro Bowl guard. And as Girardi says, how do we know? He's never played guard. You think he's a little light in the pants there, doesn't have a lot of stoutness to him.
Yeah.
So we don't know he's a Pro Bowl guard. My former boss with the Patriots did that with Isaiah Wynn. I was doing radio with him then, and he goes, worst case scenario with Isaiah Wynn, you got a Pro Bowl guard. And I was like, I don't think you know how worst case scenarios work. Worst case scenarios, he stinks. He's not a good player, and you use the fourth pick in the draft on a lineman who maybe plays for a year or two, and then you get rid of.
I'll be honest, though. I don't think Will Campbell's floor is as low as Isaiah Wynn's. I think, okay. even worst case scenario, I think he would be a good guard. I do.
Yeah.
Because of all those athletic attributes, and the shorter arms don't hurt you as much when you're bumped inside.
And I would also say nobody said Isaiah Wynn was a top 5 or 10 prospect. He went 20, whatever he went to the Patriots. So he was a lesser prospect, but there are some similarities.
Definite
similarities. Let's, SEC, left tackle, short arms. Oh, he'll be a guard, but is he a guard? There's a lot of similarities.
Let's face it. If the Patriots come away with selecting Will Campbell as the fourth overall pick, no one's going to have a big issue with it.
No.
Unless the other two blue chippers were available, then it's a different story. But if they take Will Campbell, Vrabel is going to look good. Everyone's going to feel pretty good. Oh, we got a left tackle now. We'll go with Stephon Diggs. And so Ashton Genty there.
Pat McMillan. Your skill positions are always going to get the blowback of, oh, how could you? I mean, look at the floor. Look at the ceiling. This guy has a lot of variability. Oh, he took a guard. Most football fans don't know how to evaluate guards or tackles at any point. That was also a Freudian slip that I called him a guard, by the way.
That's right. Yeah, good point. Perfect. Do they have the hoods? Do they have this conviction that they really like Tyler Warren, man?
Right.
And they know they're going to get blowback, and they know they're going to get crushed. Do they have the guts to kind of, in the conviction, to pick the guy that they want?
617-779-7937. We're reacting to more resignation that Will Campbell might be the pick at number 4 next Thursday night for the Patriots. We'll look into some more updates to rumors around the Patriots draft. Ted has a strong opinion on a certain running back. Mike Vrabel's draft history, we need to dig a little deeper into that. And I'm going to bring up another team's draft that the Patriots should be striving for, a team that hit a home run just like the Patriots need to do next Thursday night. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.